So my brothers and my sisters, you know that we have for the last about month and a half been dealing here at Community of Hope. And for those who weren't here, we've been dealing along a series called Finish Strong. I think we've dealt with the fact that as we are ending a year, as we are ending a decade, it is important for us to finish strong. It's important for us to finish strong because if we finish strong, we'll be able to be stronger in the new season. We'll be able to start the new year, the new decade, the new season, to be able to occupy and be able to receive all that God has called us to receive. We've been told that we've got to finish strong. And in order to finish strong, we understand that we have to be balanced in our strength. And so, therefore, we need to be Sunday strong, study strong, spiritually strong, a service strong, and stewardship strong. And we understand that we need to be all those things. And so throughout this past month and a half, we've been going through these various areas. And on today, it lands us on stewardship strong. Now, it's interesting, Reverend Bill, because when I look at the stories of this Christmas season, there's a story, it's a very familiar story. You often see it during the Sunday school play. You often see the little kids. I remember, Reverend Bill, at Paramount Baptist Church, that I remember there are pictures of us dressed up as wise men, and I got this little whole turban with a little big a jewel on my forehead. You remember that, Reverend Bill? And I was one of the wise men during the Sunday school play, and I always knew that that was just a nice Sunday school story during the Christmas season. But what I didn't realize, and as I sat and I reflected on it as I was preparing for this stewardship strong sermon, is that this story of the wise men is actually a story of stewardship. It's actually a story about to handle your money. It's also a story about how to be prepared for all that God has for you. It's an interesting thing because many of us, when we deal with stewardship is basically dealing with the fact that God has given us stuff to be steward over. To be steward over means that we're caretakers. It means that what we have is not our own, but we are taking care of it for the one who has given it to us. Is that making sense? And so in other words, if I am someone who comes to you and I'm like, hey, look, here goes $500. It's my money, but I want you to take care of it for me until I come back. Then what you do with my money is taking care of it. You are a steward over my finances. Amen. And I would hope when I come back that you haven't spent it all. Amen, somebody. But that you have been able to use what I've given you to be able to get a return on my investment, and therefore you can be blessed by what I've given you, but you haven't squandered what I've given you. And the challenge oftentimes is that I can give that to you, and then when I come back, you're asking for more because you have not been able to effectively utilize or steward or take care of what I gave you in the first place. Is that making sense to somebody? That's what stewardship is all about. It is the fact that every good and perfect gift we have comes from God. Amen. Everything we have comes from God. I don't care. I know you work for it, but God gave you the strength to go to work. Amen. Somebody, God gave you the hookup to get the job. I know you work for it, but it was God that was able to get you in the position to do the work to get to what you've gotten. So everything you've got comes from God. And when you understand that, then you try to be a good steward and not squander what God has given you. The challenge for many of us, though, is that many of us are not wise with our money. We're emotional with our money. Amen, somebody. We are not wise with our money, but we let our emotions drive our spending. We let our emotions, we let stuff that folks said about us in the third grade, folks said about us in middle school, gauge how we spend our money. And so because they joned on us because we had Bobos in the fourth grade. Amen, somebody. I got any Bobo testimonies in the house today? Y'all don't know about Bobos, Reverend. Dr. Nancy had me wearing some red Auerbachs, amen, somebody, from Zayers. I can't get no help in here. Some high-top red Auerbachs from Zayers, amen, somebody. We went to Zayers before we went to the Chesapeake Bay Seafood House, amen. Have I got a witness up in here? Went to the Zayers, picked up my red Auerbachs, then went to the Chesapeake Bay Seafood House and got the all-you-can-eat seafood, amen, somebody. All-you-can-eat seafood, Bobos in the box, amen, somebody. Bobos in the box, and they cut me up in the seventh grade. Lord have mercy. Because everybody had, that was when Nikes first came out. They was canvas Nikes. Amen. Anybody remember canvas Nikes? Everybody had them little canvas Nikes with the swoosh. And I came in thinking I was killing them with some hot tops on. Lord have mercy. Red Auerbachs. Amen, somebody. Yes, indeed. And so what you found out is later on in life, I always wanted to make sure I had decent shoes. Amen. Because I got joned on for the Bobos in the seventh grade. And so the challenge is, I didn't didn't always have decent shoe money. Amen, somebody? And so I'm sitting there spending money that I don't really have that's putting me out of position because my emotions are driving me. Some of us, that when you get upset with folks, you go and you spend money. Amen, somebody? When things aren't going right in your life, you go and you spend money. You got red bottoms but don't got bus fare. Amen, somebody? It's an interesting thing, but you let your emotions drive you. And I've come by to talk to somebody to tell them wise people are what? Stewardship strong. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to be stewardship strong. I'm going to be stewardship strong. And so there's some things I believe that we can learn from these wise men, these wise people, to be able to show us how to be stewardship strong. One of the first things I believe that you can learn from the wise men, but I believe that can be for all wise people, is that they were ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, you ready? You ready? You ready? You ready? You ready? Amen. The wise men say, we ready. Amen, somebody. The wise men, we're ready. One of the things that you understand when you deal with financial management, one of the things that you understand when you're looking at how to handle your money is that most financial folks tell you that you need to have an emergency fund. Amen. They tell you you need to have an emergency fund. You need to have at least about 6 months of bills, a fund that can handle about 6 months worth of bills when an emergency happens, that you never know what may happen. Never know that you end up walking to the job and all of a sudden they hand you a pink slip. All of a sudden, the job you've been so faithful to isn't faithful to you. Amen, somebody. You never know. Sickness can hit your body. Amen, somebody. And you get sick and you can't. And so they say that you need to have an emergency fund so that you're able. And one of the challenges with many of us is that we are not ready for some of the eventualities of life. Amen. We're spending stuff instead of saving because we're not ready for emergency. Amen, somebody. And so one of the things they teach you is you to have an emergency fund. But one of the things they also teach you is not just to have an emergency fund, but when you've been able to save up your money to the point of having an emergency fund, then that's not to mean that you spend everything else that you get, but then you need to put some money aside for an opportunity fund. Amen? So you should, if you're really going to be about it, you need to be ready to have an emergency fund to be ready for emergencies and an opportunity fund ready for opportunities, because an opportunity may come up, an investment may come up, some kind of an opportunity that you can be able to capitalize on, to be able to take your life to a higher level. But the fact of the matter is that's when the opportunity comes, that's not the time to start saving for it. Amen, somebody? But you need to have an opportunity fund set aside so that you can be able to capitalize on opportunities. And what you look at when you see the wise men is that the wise men had an opportunity fund. Amen. They did. They had already passed the emergency fund level, but the wise men, the Bible says that when they saw the star, they said that they got things together and they said they wanted to be able to go and worship this new king. These wise men were astronomers. These wise men were able to look and they were able to understand the prophecies, and they were in a far off land from where Jesus was born. And the Bible says that when Jesus was born, a star shone in the sky, and these wise men understood what that star meant. These wise men understood that in a foreign land, the king of the Jews had just been born. The Messiah had just been born. And they said, we've got to go to be able to worship him. And what gets me is they did not have to, when they saw the star, to all of a sudden start saving. They did not have to, when they saw the star, all of a sudden have to set up a GoFundMe page. And when they saw the star, they were already prepared to seize the opportunity. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. That good stewardship means that when the opportunity comes, I'm ready to jump up on it. And I've come by to challenge somebody that in this next year at Community of Hope that we're going to be having a financial fast for the whole year, one to help everybody here to pay off your bills. Amen, somebody? To get everybody out of debt. But I don't want you to just get out of debt, and I don't want you to just have an emergency fund. I want you to have an opportunity fund. Amen? Because I believe that in 2020 that God's going to put you in some rooms you ain't never been in before. I believe that in 2020 that God's going to put some opportunities before you you've never been able to walk into before. That in this next decade, that God's going to do it big. Amen, somebody? And God wants to blow what? Your mind. And if God's going to blow your mind, I need you to be ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. I may not have all the newest fashion of 2020, but I'm going to be ready. That I may not have the newest whip of 2020, but I'm going to be ready. That I may not have the newest video games of 2020, but I'm going to be ready. That I may not be going out to eat every week in 2020, but I'm going to be ready. Because I'm setting up an opportunity fund Because wise people are what? Stewardship strong. And wise people are ready when God opens up the door. The worst thing in the world is to have God open up a door, and all of a sudden you got to be running around asking everybody for enough money to get up in the room. But I've come by to tell somebody there's some rooms you're going to need to be able to get up into, and we're going to be ready. The day we're ready, the second thing that I'm excited about is the wise men and the wise people. The wise men knew Matthew 6:33. They knew Matthew 6:33. Now, I must have to tell you that that is not historically accurate, because Matthew 6:33 had not been written yet. Amen? Matthew 6:33 had not been written yet, but in somewhere in their spirit, they knew Matthew 6:33. What's Matthew 6:33? Y'all'll know it by next week. Amen, somebody. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This concept of seeking first the kingdom of God, amen, that these wise men understood. It's an interesting thing to me, because when you look at the wise men, the wise men understood that stewardship was not just about your money, but stewardship was about your time, your talent, and your treasure. And they understood that when the opportunity came, they were going to lay everything aside. I want you to picture, they had money, amen, somebody. They had enough money to be able to go on this caravan and go on this trip. This trip was over, some say could have been over 1,000 miles. They were able to go on this trip over 1,000 miles. No Uber, no planes, no Amtrak, no nothing. They were able to take some camels and some mules and go on this trip over 1,000 miles. And as they went on this trip over 1,000, they had the resources to be able to do it, but they left all their business at home. Amen. I could picture that they may have had some business deals per percolating at home, but they decided that whatever I have at home is going to have to take care of itself. I have to put some people over that, because I've got to lay everything I've got to seek first the kingdom of God. That here we have this newborn king, and we're going to do everything we can to find him. Somebody, you've got to develop the heart of a seeker in this season. That what God wants to do in your life, you've got to develop the heart of a seeker. You've got to seek first the kingdom. I didn't say seek first the drama. Amen, somebody. I didn't say seek first the messiness. I didn't say seek first whatever you see on TV. I said seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, that if I've got to lay everything to the side, I'm going to follow Jesus. If I've got to put everything in my rearview mirror, I'm going to go after what Jesus has in store for me. And if you look at it, they use their time, their talent, and their treasure. They said everything aside. They said, we're going to take this time in our life to go these 1,000 miles to get to where Jesus is. They use their talent, that everything they had learned to that point helped them to follow this star to get to where they needed to go. And they use their treasure, that when they got there, the Bible says they gave Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That was some of the most expensive stuff that you could be able to give in that time period. So they gave everything they had just to be able to get to Jesus. Is there anybody in the house today that you've decided to give it all so you can get to Jesus? You've decided to give it all so you can get to the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But I like the rest of the scripture, because it says, and his righteousness, and all these things, all these other things shall be added unto you. That when you seek first the kingdom, God will take care of you. When you handle God's business, God will handle your business. When you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. When you take care of God's people, God will take care of your people. Have I got anybody in the house today that says, baby, I'm going to be stewardship strong. I'm going to give God my time. I'm going to give God my talent. I'm going to give God my treasure. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. and his righteousness. And I'm going to trust God on God's word that all these other things shall be added unto me. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, let God add it unto you. See, I need God to add it unto me. I know if Reverend Bill adds it unto me, it's going to be nice, but he's adding it out of his resources. But if God adds it unto me, it's out of God's resources, and God's pockets are bigger than Reverend Bill's. If God adds it unto you, then God can work it out. If God adds it unto you, then God can take care of your children's children. If God adds it unto you, then no matter what you give out, God's got more in store for you. Have I got somebody in the house today that can shout, God add it unto me. I'm going to seek you with my whole heart. I'm going to seek you with everything I've got. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give you my time, God. I'm going to give you my talent, God. I'm going to give you my treasure, God. And I'm going to trust in your word that all these other things you'll add it unto me. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. The first thing is the wise men is that they were ready. The second thing is they knew Matthew 6:33. But the third thing is they bought Jesus health insurance. That's an amazing thing when you look at the story. When you look at the story and you see these wise men. What you see is these wise men traveled so far. They brought these gifts. They brought their worship. They laid before Jesus and they worshiped him. But at the end of that of their area, the Bible says that God told them to go home another way. They went home another way. But I want to thank God that before they went home, they bought Jesus health insurance. What do you mean, Reverend? They bought Jesus health insurance. You see, you all think that gold, frankincense, and myrrh was just some cute stuff. Like Jesus was going to make a gold chain or something. But gold, frankincense, and myrrh were there to finance Jesus' health insurance. What do you mean, Reverend? Health insurance. Well, Reverend Bowers, I'm glad that you asked. Because when you look at the text says that as soon as they left, that God spoke to Joseph, Jesus' daddy, in a dream and told Joseph to take Jesus and hide him in Egypt because King Herod is going to come and is looking to kill all children in his age range. The wise men gave Jesus health insurance. I don't mean the kind of health insurance that he had to use when he catches a cold. I mean the kind of health insurance that kept him healthy when principalities and powers in high places were trying to kill him. Somebody in the house today, I've come by to let you know that your stewardship should connect to God's plan in such a way that it takes care of people. Your stewardship should. What does it mean to be one of the wise men and their resources help to fund the plan of salvation? If Herod got to Jesus, we wouldn't be here able to be saved. If Herod had killed Jesus prematurely, he'd have never made it to a cross. If Herod had killed Jesus, he'd have never raised the sick, raised the dead and healed the sick. If Herod had killed Jesus, he'd have never walked on water. If Herod had killed Jesus, he'd have never spoke to the winds and the waves and said, peace be still. If Herod had killed Jesus, he'd have never turned water to wine. If Herod had killed Jesus, he would have never wrestled with the devil in the wilderness and came out unscathed. If Herod had killed Jesus, he'd have never washed their feet at the Last Supper. If Herod had killed Jesus, he would have never told him, my peace I leave with you. and my peace I give into you. If Herod had killed Jesus, he'd have never said, I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, Lord, have mercy, then I'm coming back again. But because Herod didn't get a hold of Jesus, now death can't get a hold of me. Is there anybody in the house today that's glad to know that God used the wise man's treasure to fund the revolution? God used the wise man's treasure to take a little black boy and hide him in a place of black folks in Egypt. Y'all do know Egypt's in Africa, right? Took him to Africa and hid him up in the midst of Egypt and took care of him. That had to be financed. It's no coincidence that they waited until the wise men came. Joseph, he was a carpenter. He couldn't have funded that on a carpenter's salary. But what the wise men brought ended up being what was needed to fund a revolution. A revolution that saved my soul. A revolution that got me delivered. A revolution that got us set free. Is there anybody here that knows that a good steward, a wise steward, God uses your resource to be a resource to the plans of the kingdom? God uses your resource to be a resource to change the region, to change the nation, to change the world. You don't believe me? Ask somebody who was with us when we was at the Legend nightclub. We was at the Legend, and we said, because we're here, because we're in this region, the crime rate's gonna go down. And 10 years later, we end up having a press conference right here to say, in this area and in Prince George's County, crime went down 50% across all levels. We would take our little bit of money and buy up an ice cream truck and do community walks with the police. We'd take our little bit of money and fund out the school programs. We'd take our little bit of money, take up an extra offering, and do the work of partnering with the community and the police department to turn this region around. And the governor came here, chief of police, county exec, and said, because of the work and the partnerships like this one here, Community of Hope, crime has dropped over 50%. But not just crime has dropped, arrests have dropped. We've locked up, we've had less crime and locked up less people. Have I got anybody in here that knows that's because we didn't have much, but we knew that what little bit we had was a whole lot in God's hands. If you a wise person, your stewardship strong, and you understand you'll protect your children from powers. Don't y'all realize it was the head of government that wanted to kill Jesus? It was the king that wanted to kill Jesus. It was a power and a principality in a high place, and you got a government right now. I hope they impeach that fool. You got a government right now that could care less about the people in this community. Not just care less, they trying to take the little bit we've got and give it to the rich. But I'm so glad, if I take my little bit and put it in the hand of the Lord, God will fight back the evil of this nation. And God will get the glory. God will take care of my children when they're trying to set them up. God will take care of my babies and let them know everything is going to be all right. Have I got anybody in here that said I'm stewardship strong? Come on, stand all over the church, all that are able. Don't y'all be fooled. When history looks back over his last 4 years in the United States of America, they'll call it the great money grab. systems being shaped and set up to keep people that look like you and me bound for generations. You got to stop thinking you're going to beg other people to fund your revolution. Beg other people to fund your children when they never had good intentions for you. You act like you came over here on Love Boat. You act like this plan has always been shaped and set up for you. It was illegal in this nation for you to be able to read and write. And so you're going to think this education system is set up to be able to take care of your children? We got to stop crying about what they're not doing and understand that we got to figure out what we're going to do. Do you realize how much money just the black community spends each year on hair products that we're not even selling? If we're going to buy it, we at least need to be selling it. Is that making sense to somebody? We spend our money on what we don't need and then beg people to fund what we do need. But the devil is a liar. In this new decade, we're going to be stewardship strong. We're going to stop spending money on what we don't need and start building and shaping. What does it mean that our four parents built schools and institutions that many of us got degrees from, that built doctors, lawyers, preachers, and teachers? And now we got big body Benzes, but we can't even keep them accredited. They can't even get enough from their own alumni, their own alum, to help them to keep rolling. Because we get what we get, and then our priorities on our finances are not about building, except for what's ours. But they have no kingdom implications. If your money has no kingdom implications, you're a fool. Because we're going through too much hell, all of us. I don't care from what color you are, what shade you are, the truth be told, and Dr. King helped us understand this very clear. It's not just a color thing, it's a class thing. White people, black people, brown people, we're all in this thing together. And we've got to understand that we've got to pool our resources for kingdom implications so that communities are shifted because we were here. Is that making sense to somebody? So what I want to ask you, one, I'm going to do this backwards. I preached about it, but I'm going to share it. And this next year, we are partnering with Kingdom Fellowship AME, Reverend Matthew Watley, with New Birth, with Pastor Jamal Bryant, with several churches throughout the nation, some of my friends, where all of our churches are going to be endeavoring to do a financial fast for the year. Because we know that we need to get ourselves out of debt. The purpose of the financial fast is going to be to help you get out of debt, so that by the end of the year, you're debt-free or real close to it. We're going to have Reverend Darrell Williams coming in, and he'll be here every Wednesday in January. And y'all lock him in right now. Doing a whole major, and he's a brilliant dude, brilliant business, brilliant guy around financial management and financial planning. He'll be here every Wednesday. That's Bible study all of January, because we're going to be making sure that we're getting stewardship strong. Amen. Want us to get our money right. Want us to get our money right. Whole financial fasting. We'll give you the details for it and the plans for it. But basically is you do not need to spend your money on what you don't need. So then you have to start looking at what are my needs and what are my wants. What do I have to get And what do I get just because I like to get it? And if I can sacrifice my wants for a year, let me look at how much money I'll be able to stack that then I can pay down on some of this debt, because the truth be told, too many of us are getting debt off of our wants and not our needs. And if you take from the want, you'll be able to stack and be able to get yourself out of debt. Anybody here want to be debt free? Anybody here in the new year want to look at opportunities to maybe get a house or a new house? See, we're going to be talking about how to position yourself that even the debt you have is good debt. Amen? Amen. But we want to get you out from under some of the bondage that you're in right now. Heaven forbid if you pass, your family should not have to take up a daggone GoFundMe to bury you. That's real talk. That's real talk. Especially when you're walking around with $3,000 on your back. You got bloody shoes. You got, I mean, you just got the whole ensemble, right? You're riding around in a car that the rims could pay for your funeral. I can't get no help up in here, but I know I'm telling the truth. No, there's no way in the world that everything when you go should be in your closet. And your family got to do a daggone rummage sale just to try to pay for your funeral. Got to do a GoFundMe just to take care of you. Amen, somebody? We got to do it different this go round. It's got to be different. It's got to be different. And that's no shame on anybody who's had to do that. I'm saying as we're moving forward, we got to do it different. Amen? Because we've got to leave an inheritance for our children's children, not bills. And so I want to ask you, if you are willing, if you even think you want to join us in this financial fast next year, and we'll be getting you all the information, just raise your hand. If you want to help join us to move to where God has you, God bless your hearts. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. Amen. I just want to pray for you. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for what you're doing in this space and in this house. I thank you for your hand on our lives. I thank you, God, for how you've been blessing us. And I thank you, God, for the fresh wind you're blowing into this church. I thank you, Jesus, for what's about to happen in the lives of these your believers. And I thank you, God, it's going to be big. So, God, give us the discipline and the courage to try something we've never done. God, in Jesus' name, if we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting the same results we've been getting. But if we try something different, I thank you, God, you'll show us something big. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise in the house. Secondly, the Bible says, what? Seek ye first, amen, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Today, if you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life,